Praise God. Please turn with me this morning to Genesis chapter 13. Genesis chapter 13. I believe that we're living in some of the most momentous days. I'm gripped even over the past days as I look at the news media, as I see what is happening right round our world. I believe, saints, that we in this church, we are here in the will of God. We are in the right place at the right time and hearing the right message. I believe that we're here in the will of God. We're here to be forged as a vessel, to be made ready. This is about to become the darkest hour and generation ever. But I want to remind you and encourage you that this is going to be the greatest hour for the Church of Jesus Christ. I don't believe there's going to be a greater hour than this hour for our light to shine in this world. When it's darkest, our light shines furthest than at any other day. You just get that lighthouse operating during the day. The same fire is burning. The same mirrors are reflecting. But in the daytime, you don't see it. Just let darkness descend. Let nighttime come, and it becomes a lifesaver unto that generation. Genesis 13, we've been dealing with Lot's journey to Sodom. Then we turned the corner. Now we're heading for Abraham's journey to Hebron. This contrast of Lot's journey to Sodom and Abraham's journey to Hebron, I believe, is what is happening in the church of our generation as we speak. Genesis chapter 13, reading from verse 12. Abraham dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abraham, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be able to be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abraham removed his tent, and he came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Father, we thank you again as we see the rising tide of iniquity, as we see Lot's departure for the city of Sodom, as we watch him walk off into the distance, as we see the abounding iniquity, as we see the cities, and Lord God, of our nation, of our world, becoming exceedingly evil. Lord God, we look in a different direction. We are looking upward and onward. My God, we're not satisfied merely to play church, to play games, to go through conventional religion. My God, we're looking for more. We're looking for a genuine Holy Ghost revival. We're looking, Lord God, that you're going to save out of this generation a multitude. My God, we're praying that by your grace and your mercy, will you lead us to Hebron? We ask of you as a church, my God, we're asking for your grace and your mercy, that you're going to strengthen us with power, Lord God, from on high, that you would endue us with the Holy Ghost, and that you're going to stir up these hearts and spirits of ours, Lord God, that we're going to forget what's behind, and Lord God, we're going to make our journey to the highest ground. We love you this morning. We praise you, and we thank you that we have an answer for every soul in this city, every man, every woman, every old person, every young person, and that answer is Jesus Christ. We love you this morning. You have redeemed us. You have changed us. And Lord God, by your grace, we're asking for much more of your Son. We want to go deeper. We want to explore the very depths and the fullness of the Son of God. In Jesus' name, bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name. As Abraham lifts up his eyes and looks at the tent, the caravan, the company of Lot's house, journeying out into a wilderness to prepare to set their tent, to pitch it, to ground it, to settle down at a halfway house towards Sodom. This man Abraham had a deeper cry, a higher cry, and a longing that was birthed of God. Since we're living in a generation where God isn't coming back for a worn out church, He's not coming for a bride that looks like a harlot. He is coming for a spotless bride. He is coming for a church just like He left behind. He's not merely coming to rescue the church, but He's coming back for a real vibrant church. The church He said, I will build, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. We need to be careful to remind ourselves that He did say He would build His church, even in the very last hours of time before He comes back again. He did say that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And it's upon that rock and that foundation that we stand in this hour. Look at Genesis chapter 13 as we see this hour in which two journeys were made. The Lot church made its journey to Sodom, but there was another church, and I believe we are represented by it. There is another church, the Abram church, that's going to make its journey towards Hebron in this hour. What sort of generation was it that Abraham and Lot lived in? Look at verse 13 here. It says, but the men of Sodom, doesn't mention the women, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. It's talking about this city of Sodom that Lot pitched his tent towards. Eventually moved into that city. We are told that Abraham and Lot and that generation knew that this isn't like the previous generation. There is something happening now in our day and time, in our nations, in our cities. There is something exploding of a dimension, not of righteousness, not of holiness, not of morality, but actually it is wickedness, it is sin exploding in a remarkable fashion. Verse 13 actually marks out the very mark of that generation that these two journeys were made. Don't only think that it was Lot's journey to Sodom that was made in an evil hour, but at the very darkest hour, when it was darkest, most evil, I want to tell you about the greatest journey that ever happened. It didn't happen in the midst of revival. It didn't begin in a day when everyone was rejoicing in the Lord. This journey to Hebron was birthed out of a desire of a remnant who desired to go to higher ground. It is an evil hour. We cannot stay where we are. This word exceedingly, it actually means vehemently or wholly, giving your entire being over to it. It means speedily, that you're going to act without hesitation or without questioning. It means to give entire diligence to it. It means to give special attention to towards this thing. What am I speaking about? In verse 13, it says that the sinners of that generation, the men living in Sodom, were exceedingly sinful. There was something. The men of Sodom were literally becoming vehemently burning, passionate, absolutely dedicated to sin. Since not every generation is marked politically, morally, religiously, socially, and educationally by rampant sin or militant sin or absolute dynamic dedication to sin. But we do live on the verge of such a generation. A generation is rising up who are giving themselves over vehemently. They are absolutely going to burn with an indignation for Satan. They are absolutely caught up in something where they say, we will rebel against the word of God. This was Abraham's generation. As Abraham looked at his day and generation, he beholds Lot, his own nephew. He beholds Lot's wife, and he looks at this compromise as they go walking out. Since they were righteous, they were justified by faith. They had all lived at Bethel, the house of God, the church of God. Here, when you see a great departure in Bethel, in the very house of God, in the real church, of a remnant beginning to move towards Sodom. They were justified by faith. They were righteous in their own soul. They did desire the living God. But they settled down into a compromised form of worship of God. On that journey, Lot lost everything but his own soul. He lost his vision. He lost his testimony. He lost his children. He lost everything. But saints, thank God he was saved. But I don't want to be a part of that church. I'm not here merely to make it to heaven. I'm not merely here to scrape through by the fire of God's judgment. I want to follow Abraham in the footsteps that he made. It was Jesus Christ who talked about this last generation. And he said in Luke 17, likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Lot's day is likened unto the return of Jesus Christ. I believe the last generation is going to be very like Lot's day. Jesus also said in Matthew 24 and verse 11, he said, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And notice this, and because, he's going to show you the cause, and because iniquity shall abound. That's the cause. What is it for iniquity to abound? It is actually meaning iniquity is going to burst the banks of the river. We know the Shannon there. If it ever exploded in growth and burst the banks of the river, it's the longest river in Ireland. Look at the expanse of it. Can you imagine the river of iniquity that has been held back? It's been held at bay. It's been held in a certain course. Jesus actually says this river of iniquity that has always flowed in this last generation, it is going to begin to burst the banks. It is going to begin to abound on the left and the right. And he says, because this happens, something is going to happen. What is going to be the result? What is the result in this day of iniquity abounding within our nations? He goes on to tell us, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. That literally means, and let me give you a word picture, because the Hebrew and the Greek, they have word pictures. They paint a picture first that we might understand the word. What? Look at a man with his hot boiling porridge. So hot he can't even eat it or touch it. But all you do is come down low and slowly blow on that porridge. You don't create a great stir. All you're doing is gently blowing on that porridge. That's literally what this word wax cold means. It means a cold, constant, not a hurricane, but a blowing of a cold wind to cool the temperature down, to enable a man to eat his porridge. I want to tell you, there is a cold wind blowing in this generation, and it says it's going to cool down the love of many. The word many means most. Whose love is it going to cool down? The word love here is the word agape. Sinners don't have agape love. They can't have agape love. Amen. They can have many forms of love. They can have sentimental love, motherly love. But agape love in the Bible is only spoken of as in the Christian or in the church. Who is this iniquity aimed at? It's not at the world. The devil's got the world. He's not after the town council of Limerick. He's got them. They freely march in the gay pride parade. What is this iniquity aimed at? At the Church of Jesus Christ in Ireland. This hour that we've come to, like Lot, of iniquity abounding. It's actually aimed at your love in this room. Why are the legislation on homosexuality being passed? Why is it the education system is turning upside down? Why is it that immorality is breaking out on the left and the right? Why are these laws to kill the old people coming in? Why is it that all manners of things are coming in? It's not to corrupt that world. They are corrupt. They're lost. Saints, it is aimed at us. Because I tell you, when that love diminishes, like with Lot, he said, homosexuality is wicked, but he offers up his own children to be raped. That is a growing cold, and yet you're justified by faith. Yeah. Saints, I don't want to just scrape in or just make it. Jesus said, as in the days of Lot, look at what's happened the past few days. We know that a month ago, Ireland legislated, voted in homosexual marriage. That is a marker that we are at the end.
Yeah.
We know just a few days ago that America, that legal system, and the Bible talks about this, of legislating iniquity in the law, actually framing iniquity into the law of the land. Something is changing in our generation. This is the mark of this generation. I don't want to be a Lot church. I don't want to be caught up in it. Saints, we need to wake up, if ever we're going to wake up at this time. This is the most serious hour for the Church of Jesus Christ. And while the church plays games with its flashing lights, with its gadget strategies, while we throw out the preaching of the word, while we've lost the revelation of Christ, where the blood doesn't affect us anymore, that world is going to hell. The devil is pouring out his greatest movement in this world, and yet the church is yet to wake up to the greatest revival that it is yet to see. You see, Jesus warned about this hour. He said the love of many is going to wax cold. He is actually talking about a Christian's love, not the love of the world. But the next verse he says, verse 13, but he that shall endure. That simply means someone who holds fast, maintains under. You may not think you're doing very much, but to stand in this hour takes the power of God. To simply stand and say, I'm not turning back, I'm not turning to the left, I'm not turning to the right, I'm not changing my doctrine, I'm not losing sight of Jesus Christ, I'm laying hold of my testimony. I may not be winning 10,000 to the Lord, but I'm going to be a Christian in season and out of season. That auntie that we laid in the grave yesterday, 40 years as Sunday school teacher, every Sunday morning, even if the snow covered the ground, she lives on a hill, she would have walked it to get to those children. Says, I'm going to be faithful to tell them that Jesus Christ died for them, that God loves them, that they must be born again. 40 long years, saints. We're not talking about 2 years. We're not talking about making it to a meeting if you like or if you don't, or I've got something else. We're talking about an absolute dedication. Amen. Jesus Christ actually says there'll be those like Lot whose love waxes cold. Oh yes, they're on their way to heaven. The love might wax cold, but it's still there. We're not talking about Christians going out and committing adultery. I'm not talking about that. Or visiting the light district. Or becoming like the world. I'm not talking about that. You see, Lot didn't become a part of that world. He was separate from it. He rebuked it. He spoke against it. But those convictions diminished.
Yeah.
What's the answer? America's legislating homosexuality. Look at Pope Francis this week. The leak from him calling for a world authority, a world government. It's coming out this Thursday. He's going to speak to the American government this year and to the UN. We are at the end.
Amen.
These are the last of the last days, and we see the markers. Saints, what are we meant to do? Do we look at Lot? Do we look at the situation and grow discouraged? You've got your focus in the wrong place if you do. You see, Lot in that generation, the compromised church, set their tent towards Sodom, and they lost everything in it in a 20-year journey. But saints, there is another journey that we are to experience in this church, and it's got to become part of our heart cry. Saints, this has to burn within us like never before. It's got to become a part of our prayer. Lord, take us to Hebron. You see, what is the answer for Abram and Sarai? He knows about Sodom. He knows iniquity is abounding like it wasn't in his childhood. He come from Ur of the Chaldees. It wasn't this evil. He come from an idolatrous city. It wasn't quite like this. Sodom is the very cesspit of hell itself. He knows it's a tragic hour. Abram, what are you going to do? I'm going to higher ground.
Amen.
I am going to higher ground. Saints, what is the answer for you and I in this hour as we see everything happening? I want to tell you one simple answer for you as we see the legislation of homosexuality. Don't grow discouraged. Don't just pack your bags. Don't lock your doors. This is our greatest hour. Let's go to higher ground. Amen. This is a time for us to actually go higher, go further, and go deeper. Look at verse 18. Then Abraham removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar of the Lord. Look at this journey of Abraham. What did Abraham do in the hour of crisis, in the darkest hour, when iniquity was abounding, when he seen the love of Lot diminishing, when he seen the effect of a compromised church? Did he grow discouraged? Did he throw the towel in? Did he just settle down in Bethel and say, I've got to just make a stand here? No. Abraham said, I'm going further. I'm going on with the Lord. Hebron is actually 35 miles south of the city of Bethel. Bethel represents our church life, where we are, where we were saved, where we were brought in. I'm tithing in the house of God. I'm in the prayer meeting. I've got an altar. I've got all of this. I know about the Lord. I love the preaching. I know I'm saved. There's an open heaven above me. But that isn't sufficient in this hour, saints. We must leave Bethel and make our way to Hebron. It was 35 miles south of Bethel. 15 miles south you've got Jerusalem. But Abraham says, I'm not stopping at Jerusalem. It's not Jerusalem I'm looking for. I want to go to Hebron. Hebron was 3,000 feet above sea level. It is the highest spot in all the nation of Israel. There is nowhere higher. There's no mountain higher. There's no plateau higher. It's not a mistake that Abraham made a journey to Hebron. It is no accident. Abraham, as he stood there seeing everything happening, he looked and he said, I'm going to Hebron. I am going to the highest place that you can possibly go to. I'm not staying here at the house of God. I'm not just going to settle here with my family. I want to go higher and further. As we dealt with last week, it was an arduous journey. It was not convenient. You don't get to Hebron by accident. It's a deliberate journey. It's by an act of your will. It is out of your way. It is out of season. It isn't convenient. And there's only one reason you'll go to Hebron: for more of God. I do want more. You see, Sodom was twice as far away from Bethel. It was all downhill. And in fact, where they say Sodom was, at the base of the Dead Sea, was over twice as far a journey. But the actual Dead Sea is the lowest place on the face of the planet. There is no spot on the face of the entire earth that is lower than where the city of Sodom was. It is 1,400 feet below sea level. Hebron is 3,000 feet above sea level. Abraham is making a journey to the highest spot in the nation, whereas Lot is actually making a downward journey. You see, Lot's journey, there's no pressure. There's no opposition. It doesn't take anything to walk downhill, saints. You just need to be careful you don't run too fast or you'll stumble. But Lot's journey was all downhill. It was all downward. It was all continuing in a certain direction. Do you know he had to pass Jerusalem to get there? He had to walk past Hebron on his way there. He must have passed it on his right, saying, look at that hill. I'm certainly not going up there. You see, Hebron had rocky heights, sharp slopes. It was a dangerous journey. There's no easy path to it. Lot just bypassed it, saying, you'd be a fool to go there. I don't need to be radical in this hour. We don't need to be fanatical. Hey, I'm saved. I know the Lord. I know my name's written in heaven. I know my sins are forgiven. It's not enough, saints. It's not enough if you want to leave a testimony in this world. You see, Lot made a journey to the lowest place. Abraham made a journey to the very highest place. he could find. Saints, that's the call of God in this hour. I'm not staying where I am. I'm not happy with church life as we have it. I know there's more of God coming down in his glory, of a reviving of the Holy Spirit. I want to see him healing the sick, setting the captives free, transforming the sinner instantly. I do believe in the power of God. I believe in the life-changing blood. The alcoholic just needs to repent and he'll be free. The drug addict, the immoral man. We have an answer in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the answer. See, Hebron is still here, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know Hebron is the oldest city in Israel? There's no older city. It is one of the most ancient spots in the land of Israel. And it's still there and they're still fighting for it. The Palestinians fighting against Israel for that old ancient city of Hebron. You know why? Because it's an important city. It's the highest in the nation. And those Palestinians say, we want it. I can remember the night I left a meeting, a Bible teacher from Singapore. And he was preaching and expounding the Bible. How that in the last days, the Bible prophesies that the city of Jerusalem, and this is the words he used, shall be partitioned. Divided in two, half to the Gentiles, half to the Jew, in the last days. And he was preaching and teaching on how the city of Jerusalem would be central to the plan of God. I drove home that night through the snow, turned on the news, which I never done. And it comes on Israeli soldiers, and they said the city has been partitioned. I tell you, the news got my attention that night.
Amen.
I went, what? And I'm caught up in this. The city has been partitioned between the Palestinians and the Jew. I went, my God, it's just happened. But they said it's Hebron. It was Hebron, not Jerusalem. Jerusalem's yet to come. Saints, we are living on the very edge of everything happening. You see, Hebron was central to the entire nation. It was smack right in the middle of the nation. All of the nation was given to Abraham, but he needed a spot to walk from. In verse 17, the Lord says, arise, walk through the entire length and breadth of the land and go and possess it. It's yours. I have given it to you. There's much land I've given it to you, but where are you going to go from? Saints, we need to make a high journey to Hebron. It isn't easy. You're going to have to make a decision in these days. As you see it getting darker out there. Lord, I'm going to go through with you. I need you to baptize me with the Holy Ghost. Saints, if you settle down and say, if he wants to fill me, he'll fill me. You'll never get filled. He says, seek with me with all of the heart, and I'll answer you, and I'll fill you. We need not just the baptism in the Holy Ghost. I need to be filled, and I need to be filled, and I need him to come to me, and I need him to stir me. Saints, I want much more. I am hungry. I am thirsty. If the world out there is getting radical, they're demanding our rights. I want our vote, our liberty. We want to legalize homosexuality, abortion, the killing of old people. We want. Where's the church?
Amen.
Where is this church that's saying, take us higher?
Yeah.
What do you need in order to make this journey? You need certain things in order to make this journey or you'll never make it. First of all, you need an old-fashioned altar. Abraham did have an old-fashioned altar. The first thing he done when he got to Bethel was to build an altar. That's what's going to keep me in Bethel. If I'm not going to follow Lot to Sodom, I need an old-fashioned altar of prayer. Do you know what he done when he got to Hebron after his journey? The first thing he done was build an altar of prayer. He said, Lord, I'm going to pray. I want to walk with you all my days. I don't want religion. I don't want game plan. I don't want to be entertained in church. I want a real God that changes my life and who walks with me. I'm not satisfied with the games and the gimmicks. God help us, flashing lights won't do anything for me. We need a young generation burning on fire for God who can bring the glory back to the church again. Not only do you need an old-fashioned altar, you need an old-fashioned tent. Well, I don't think much of your tent. Look at your church. You sing those old hymns. You're still singing about the blood, and you have the Lord's table.
That's right.
You're not quite moving with it. Thank God I'm not. I'm living in an old-fashioned tent.
Right.
All this church is a tent.
Yeah.
Just passing through. But I want to tell you, this tent will get me to Hebron.
Yeah.
I want to live at Hebron in an old-fashioned tent. No flashing lights, Gary, in that tent. I tell you, no boogie boxes that are going to drown you out or deafen you in that tent. Maybe my preaching will, but I don't know. But you don't have that. All you have is a tent. That tent keeps me aware. I'm passing through. This isn't my home. I'm here. My auntie was 68 years old. She's laid in that grave. I'm standing at the coffin side looking at her going, that's not her. All that is that a shell of a body. She just passed through here. She left the testimony of walking with God, standing on the street corner at the open air every week when the open air was on. She was out at her neighbor's houses when they need help. She brought those children every Sunday morning to church. It wasn't the pastor doing it. It was her in her car. I'll go pick you up. I'll make sure. Little Jimmy, I'll come for you. I want you to know that Christ can change your life. All of them have grown up over 40 years, gone out to serve God or to live as Christians. Saints, we are going to leave something behind us.
Amen.
We need an old-fashioned altar, an old-fashioned tent. And look at Abraham before making this journey. God gave him a new vision. Is God going to give you a new vision if you want it? If you don't follow Lot, he'll give you a new vision. When you see Lot and the compromised church heading for Sodom, and you go, oh God, what am I going to do? I'm going to give you a new vision.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you higher ground. I'm going to show you things you never saw before. There's a place called Hebron.
Yeah.
If the compromised church is going lower, let us go higher. Let us pitch our tent towards Hebron. Abraham received a new vision, a renewed promise. Well, God had spoken him all through the years. Remember when he left Ur of the Chaldees? It was with a promise. Lord, you said you'd give me a land. That land is Christ. Remember when he got stuck in Haran, halfway house? He had to wait till his old man, his father died. Some of us get stuck along the way, don't we? The old man is there. Well, I'll just pitch it here at Haran. A minute ago to Canaan. God told me to get to Canaan. I've got stuck in Haran. Why? Because I'm an old man. The Lord said, leave by yourself. You brought your old man. You brought everything with you. Gonna have to wait till he dies.
Yeah.
Before you begin to make that journey again. Thank God when he got to Bethel, he didn't stop there. He said,
yeah,
give me higher ground. I don't want to stop. Saints, have you settled down?
Jesus.
Are you satisfied? Are you dissatisfied, but you're going to stay there? I want higher ground. I want this church to go to higher ground. We've got nothing to boast in.
Amen.
We're even hardly, barely normal. Saints,
yeah,
this is only basic,
yeah,
elementary. It's wonderful. Thank God for it. And I tell you what, you'll be hard-pressed to find the real in this hour. You can search nations. You can hardly find a gospel preacher or somebody who wants to keep this table anymore. Or the songs of Zion about the blood. You can hardly find it in our nations. Go to the big Pentecostal conventions. They're not singing about the blood. They're not preaching holiness anymore. The biggest conventions, the Bible schools, something has changed. Lot has made his journey. He not only had a renewal of the promises here at Bethel, God reminded him of the promise. The promise is still for you. I've given you everything. There's land you haven't even walked on. There's experiences with Christ you haven't had yet. You've heard about them. You've got the promise of them. You've never walked it out. Saints, we've got all this land ahead of us. I want a revival in this church.
Amen.
We're not going down. We're not going back. You've got to go on somewhere. There's a renewal of the promise. And why God does that? He gives us a new vision of new heights. He gives us a new promise. Do you remember what I said to you, Paul? You remember back then? I told you. Now you're brought right back. When the Lord spoke to me, I forgot.
Yeah.
He showed me things. I forgot it.
Mm.
Got caught up in all of this. So easy to do. And he started on a new journey. Do you know it says that he took up his tent? Next thing we read, he pitches it 35 miles later. Only a short distance, isn't it? But it's not an easy distance. It doesn't take long, 35 miles. You could do it in a day. But the journey is arduous. It takes a decision. I want God. I want God in this hour. Lord, I am not willing to stay where I am. We've got to become desperate men and women again. But notice something here. It says he went to Hebron. And where did he pitch? He pitched on the plain of Mamre. What is the plain of Mamre? The word plain actually means the oak grove. Now see this for a second before we close. There is an actual oak grove. There's many great oaks growing there at Hebron. This is the highest place in Israel. And when you get there is a beautiful plateau upon this plain of Mamre. There's a beautiful plateau. Do you know when you get to the place, the city of Hebron, it is in a long stretch and valley. Either side of you is pointed rocky hills all around you, but there's a flat, straight valley. And in the middle of that is Hebron. 1 mile away from the city of Hebron is still a place called the Oaks of Mamre. It is still there. The oaks are still growing. You see, God does have a message here in these oaks of Mamre. When you get to Hebron, when you get there, when you make this journey, saints, it's a place of the grove of the oaks. The word Mamre actually means firmness, strength, stability, or maturity. It's a place of gain and strength in this hour. It's a day when Sodom is abounding in iniquity. Homosexuality is being legalized. Everything is busting its banks. Saints, I want to live at Hebron. And there's a place of strength. You see, the oak is a picture of what God is going to do with Abraham. I've got you to Hebron. Do you know why? It's not about the journey there. I'm going to do something with you at Hebron. And God wants to do something with you and I. You see, these oaks at Hebron were a picture of what God is going to do in the life of Abraham. With oak trees, they are marked as hard wood. The great mark of a mighty oak tree is its strength. It is hard wood. That's what an oak tree is. Since God is going to make something out of our life, I don't want to end up like Lot. I want to be an Abraham. I want to get to Hebron where God is going to make me a mighty oak and put a strength in me that comes from Hebron, heaven. This is what Hebron stands for.
Yeah.
Also, the oak has a long life. The local people in Hebron, they say there's trees there that are at least 300 years old, some of them thousands of years old. One of them, it's called the Oak of Mamre, 1 mile from Hebron, and they actually say it's 5,000 years old. I don't know whether they're right or not, but I tell you, it's an old oak tree. It has grown, it's got long life, or it's got deep maturity. You see, when you get to Hebron, you're going, I want to mature. I want to grow in the things of God. I don't want to be a babe drinking milk all the time.
Yeah.
I'm not satisfied to be grumpy, grumbling, complaining, always looking at the cobwebs. I want to go deeper, saints of God. I want to be a meat eater. I desire more from God. You see, Hebron is the place where we gain maturity. You're not going to stay as babes. You want to stay at Babes, you stay at Bethel. This journey, this walk with God means we're going to grow. And you know what the mark of a real saint is of maturity? The trials of life, the hardships. Either it'll make you bitter or it'll make you better.
Yeah.
Either you go deeper in God because you go, I can't manage. Then go deeper, go higher, move to Hebron. I'm not managing. Then go to higher ground. These trees grow to a great height, sometimes 18 meters high. That's how these trees grow. Do you remember Abraham's herdmen, where we left them at Bethel? Remember, Abraham's herdmen are fighting with Lot's herdmen. There was strife in the camp. That was the beginning of these two journeys. Strife was at the heart of these two journeys. They're all living together for 20 years. They look the same, act the same, pray the same. But strife comes into the camp and it's the beginning of two journeys. What happened to Abraham's herdmen? Did they go with Lot? No, they certainly didn't. Did they stay in Bethel? No, they certainly didn't. Do you know, this is chapter 13. Do you know what happens in chapter 14? We read in chapter 14 of 318 fighting men in the camp of Abraham. He said, they were born in my house. They grew up in my house. They were trained in this church. They weren't trained in Lot's church, I can assure you. We believe in the blood over here. We believe in holiness and the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't need to push people over. I believe in the Holy Spirit. We don't say sinners' prayers over here. We believe the Holy Ghost convicts a man and draws him to Christ, to a place where it's irresistible. That's what we believe. You see, 318 men were trained in the house of Abraham. Where were they trained? At Hebron. They weren't trained at Bethel. But out of that strife, there was a man of God, Abraham, said, don't get involved with that strife of Lot. Let's go to higher ground. Don't get drawn away by Lot. Don't get drawn away by strife and division. Don't settle here. Strife isn't normal. If you're happy to stay at Bethel and say, strife, division, bickering, fighting, groaning, moaning, complaining, if that's church, God help us. If that's what we're going to say, we're the body of Christ. It's not. I want something more, saints. And it's at Hebron. Those 380 men were trained at Hebron. And saints, let me remind you that in chapter 14 of Genesis, that great army that came from Mesopotamia of the four kings, they invaded the land. And they conquered Sodom and Gomorrah and the other five cities. And they took them all captive. Who beat them? Who got the compromised church back? Lot. Who went and got him and his wife and his possessions and his children? Who is it who brought them back? It was Abraham and 380 men trained in Hebron. Do you realize this was the mega army of that generation? This Mesopotamia. These are the greatest fighting forces, nations joined together. Who beat them? 318 men who are trained at Hebron. Saints, this is what the journey to Hebron means. If you hear what I'm saying, we are going to make in this generation, in this hour when iniquity is abounding everywhere, we're not staying where we are. We are going somewhere. Out of this church, we want to see an army raised up. I don't care how few it is. I don't care if the world laughs us at us or if Lot goes, what are they going to do? I want to tell you, we want to train an army that will stand against the Mesopotamians, that can bring back the backslider. This week, Candace meets a backslider on the high street and begins witnessing and speaking him and exhorting him. It's time to come back, brother. It's time to be back in the house of God. We're praying for you. And his heart's longing to come back, but sin has got him. He's a backslider. Saints, it's time that we are at Hebron, where 318 saints are going to be trained up. Amen. Like we said last week, the eagle is a type of the Christian. I believe at Hebron, we are going to produce eagle saints. The Lord talks in Isaiah chapter 40 about renewing your strength as an eagle, about mounting up with wings as an eagle so that you won't run and get tired. Ever felt tired? Yeah. Ever got weary? Ever felt like fainting? Well, the Lord knows that. This is the very hour in which we're prone to faint and weariness and tiredness. You know what he says? If you come and dwell at Hebron, I'll renew your strength like the eagle. Do you know, the eagle does grow old. It's a real eagle.
Yeah.
It grows old. And all manners of calcium builds up in its nose. Can't peck like it used to, can't fly like it used to. It's got worn down with the effects of this world. It's grown tired. It feels old. It feels at the end of itself. Eagles do get like that. Eagles go, I don't have the stamina I once had. I can't pray like I once had. There's something wrong. Then the Lord will renew your strength like the eagle. Do you know what happens? They get utterly revitalized. Absolutely head to toe. A new eagle rises up. The Lord says in this hour, this is the hour where you will get your strength renewed. There is an experience with the Lord at Hebron where he'll renew your strength. Have you lost anything on this journey? Did you get tired going up that hill? Did you cut your feet? Did you get weary? Did you become disillusioned a bit and go, maybe I shouldn't make this journey? Saints, there's a renewing of this strength. There's also a mounting up. Do you know an eagle doesn't just fly, it mounts up. That isn't a normal event. Do you know what mountain up means? It means an eagle can be surrounded on every side. There's no way out. There's no way to move. There's no capacity to get around it. An eagle can go up. That's what mountain up. Ever seen a Harrier jet? A Harrier jet doesn't take off like this. It takes off like this. Do you know what it does? It literally lifts off the ground. Harrier jet. That's what an eagle does. It doesn't try to fight its way through. It lifts up. That's what mountain up with wings is. Please stand with me.
Jesus.
Let's just open our hearts. Just make an altar where you are. Stand, lift your hands, kneel. Let's just for a moment as we close this gathering. I want to go to higher ground. Saints, don't get all caught up in the homosexuality. Don't get caught up in all those things. That can be a distraction. It is important. We do know what's going on. We must know what's going on. But this is our hour to make a journey to Hebron. This is our hour to go higher. I can't suffice where I am. I need more. Let's just seek him here for a moment.